When you first heard about this concept, this architecture for dogs, well, first of all, how did you first hear about it?
I was actually in Tokyo, and I was visiting Ken Yohara's offices. And Ken Yohara is the creator and visionary behind this, as well as Long Beach resident Julia Wang. And we were in Tokyo, and I was able to visit his beautiful offices and see the graphics and find out more. I knew that this was going to be wonderful, but after that moment, I knew this was going to be really amazing, and I really wanted Long Beach Museum of Art to be part of it. And I'm thrilled that we're here. Yeah, that's how I found out.
That had to have been exciting to get to be the West Coast premiere of this unusual exhibit.
Yeah, it was at Art Basel in Miami last winter in December, and it was there for less than 48 hours, available to see. And from that, this whole slew of activity happened. And from that, now it leaves here, and we're the only place in the United States and West Coast being shown. It leaves here, it goes to Tokyo. It then has a stop, I think, in New Zealand or Australia. I believe it's going on to Milan and to Paris and for Design Week and Fashion Week. And I think there are additional pieces now that are going to be added to this because it's continuing to grow. And it's been one of our most popular exhibitions. And Long Beach is a dog city, and people really have been responding to it. So,
in fact, waiting for you today, I saw two or three beautiful dogs. I thought, well, that's highly appropriate. When you first heard about this, what was the first thought that crossed your mind?
What my dog would like. And because it's a very serious attempt, and it's a very authentic attempt to actually think about a breed of a dog and how that dog's life living with you and cohabitating, do we take into consideration its needs when building architecture or pieces of furniture or items that are going to really make, you know, that dog's quality of life as good as ours? I mean, for centuries, we've bred these wonderful animals to be our companions, and we've bred them to look like they look, to have the mannerisms and behave as they do as purebreds. But do we really think about what that breed really needs? And I think this particular exhibit really answers that for the dog breeds that are included in this exhibition. And I think it's an exciting look at it. You know, we know that architects know that a stair is going to be 13 inches, that a counter is going to be this height, that you need this far to turn around in a particular space in a kitchen, and what height and what kind of volume of space are needed for that. But we know that about our dogs? And I think we don't. And I think this really examines that. And so it is a serious study of that, but it also just aesthetically is so much fun. There was just no way I couldn't. You can't enjoy this. You can't get smiles on your faces. That's great.
I'm smiling at the very idea. I'm looking at this right now. Let's look at several of these pieces in terms of what your dog would need.
Well, I have an Irish Terrier, and she is a rather feisty little breed. I love her to death, but she also really likes to be next to or under a piece of furniture with her back kind of covered and ready to, you know, take on at the moment that something happens in the day, or possibly as horrible as, you know, the mailman arriving, you know. And so protecting, you know, me, the house, everything, she takes her job very seriously. But when she is relaxing, she really does like to have her space. So there's a piece that's actually done for a Bison Frise, and it looks like this big, wonderful cotton cloud, but it's a really beautifully knit yarn. And the whole covering of this is this luxurious kind of huge chenille piece that I think any of us would like to sleep in. But it does have a rounded back that is like a large crescent roll. And inside of it is a beautifully constructed birch laths and how they're put together, and quite ingeniously. And then it's covered with this gigantic, you know, what looks like this big bumping fuzzy, you know, pile of white fur. But in reality, the surface is that luxurious, but it really is a structured piece for that dog to have that feeling of solidity and comfort. It's just not like jumping onto a beanbag chair. And for the Bichon Frise, I mean, it really would actually really blend into that, and I think have that feeling of security. There's also on the backside, an entrance where the dog could go in that large crescent roll and actually be inside and have more privacy if it wants to do that. So, and what's really amazing is the dogs do that. And then when they see it, and it's not just the Bichon Frise, but they really have this instinctive, like, oh, I'm going to check this out. This is the way it's going to be. I like it. And they just respond to it. And it's just been amazing to watch that happen. And what's really exciting is the architecture that did this piece is from Japan, but she did the new Kanazawa Contemporary Art Museum that's getting tremendous reviews in Japan. She also was the architect for the new museum in New York City. But this is the first time she's ever been shown in a museum. And she's tickled pink about it. And I love the idea that, you know, she's building some of the most beautifully acclaimed, wonderful places and museums for exhibition. However, this is the first time she's ever been in a museum exhibit, and that's kind of fun. So all of these artists, all of them are international in scope, and they were Kenya Ohara when he called to them and said, this is the project. They all said yes. And then they found out they either needed to go get this particular breed that they had been assigned, or find a friend with one, or go rescue one. So a lot of these people now have dogs in their lives that didn't, and they're now, you know, have developed this relationship. And in speaking with some of them, I think they all are already thinking of other projects and ways they could improve the product that they actually created. Though it was done over a 4-year period of time, which is also pretty amazing.
So it started in 2009.
Yeah, wow. That's when the curatorial vision was first discovered, and that's how it started developing from there. And, you know, when Kenya Ohara calls, I take his calls, and I'm fortunate that he takes mine. But a lot of people do, because he's a very busy man, and he is in so many areas of design and is so international. And I don't think he lives in an area code or in a phone zip code or anything else. He's bouncing around the planet. Lovely man, you know, and really, really talented genius.
Well, I love the idea that people got assigned dogs and then they had to go find out about the nature of that dog and build accordingly.
And it is. And I think if you were used to a particular dog or breed, but you really had to research on what that dog was going to be and what that dog's life was. So you really did get a fresh start. And if you didn't know about that dog, you had to learn pretty quickly. So, and they came from a really authentic place with it. And I really appreciate that. And when talking to them, the architects about that and the designers about that, they're all, you know, very, very serious in the conversations with it and how that animal, what its needs were and some of the changes that were made along the way and other things and projects I think should work at.